Let me welcome you to our time of worship today. My name is David Langwisch, pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, which is physically located in Lakewood, Colorado. We're opening a Southwest campus down in Littleton. But honestly, we're located wherever you are, and the family of Christ is wherever you are. And I know so many of you, and just want you to know I love you and so glad we're together in this time of worship. We'll be celebrating Holy Communion a little later on, so prepare yourself for that. If you have questions about that, let's connect sometime and talk about that. And then for an offering, it's hard to do the offering online. Obviously, you can go to our website at BethlehemDenver.com and the opportunity to give there. But now, let's worship. And let's do it in the name of our God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name. Fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. 'Cause your name is power, your name is healing, your name is life. Stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family. I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is life. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Gracious God, and by his gracious invitation, we come before him when he says, come and confess your sins. Because the act of confession is a gift to us, for us to become unburdened, where there is no shame, to come before the Father, admit our sin, and receive his good gift of grace to us. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you this day, acknowledging that we have fallen short of your glory. Father, we have not done what is right in your sight. We have not loved our neighbor more than we love ourselves. Father, we have gone our own way, our own path. We have attempted to set out our own vision, to determine our own steps. Father, we have not followed in the way that you have set before us. We have not looked upon your word and followed it step by step. And for that, Father, we have gone astray. We've done what we each think is right in our own way, said what we believe to be in our hearts. But truly, Father, we have not humbled ourselves and walked with you. We have not acted justly. We have not loved mercy. We have not followed your ways. And so, Father, we pray that you would forgive us where we have erred, where we have strayed, where we have done our own thing. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us when we are unloving to those around us, when we have decided to follow our own agenda instead of what you have set before us. Father, you have given us great gifts and abilities, and we have laid those aside. Forgive us, Father, for these and the multitude of sins that separate us from you and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved in Christ, know this, because of God's great love for you, he sent his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to take our sin, my sin, upon his shoulders and die the death that you and I both deserve. Your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson for today is from Isaiah, chapter 49. Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples from afar. The Lord called me from the womb. From the body of my mother, he named my name. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow, and in his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my right hand is with the Lord, and my recompense with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who has formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has become my strength," he says. "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to one deeply despised, abhorred by the nation, the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you." This is the word of the Lord. Our New Testament lesson, which will serve as the sermon text, is from Acts chapter 2, selected verses. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one of them was hearing others speak in his own language. And all of them were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord. Our gospel lesson is from St. John, the 7th chapter. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is the gospel of the Lord. And having received God's word and planting it in our hearts, may it produce a crop 100-fold. Let us confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, as we've been going through our sermon series, Our Next Generation, we simply, Lord, have wanted to be in your hands doing what you desire us to do. And the reach for our congregation, and just pray that it would always be about that, that people might know Jesus Christ and the life in his name. And Lord, start with us. Help us to know that. Bless our time in your word. Help me to be faithful to your word, Lord. And all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so a couple weeks ago, we had two big cleanup days at our Southwest campus, you know, getting ready for the big launch. So cleaning out rooms, the kitchen, we were pulling out weeds and spraying weed kill and pulling out old shrubbery and landscaping, cleaning out closets. And I'll tell you, they were full of, let's just call them treasures, enough to fill two large roll-off dumpsters. But let me share with you just a personally touching story from that weekend. One of our volunteers was named Dan, and he had been a member at Hosanna, which is the church that we adopted, for 40 years. And when we kind of all stepped around on Saturday in a circle to kind of get going, ready for the workday, he simply said this: "Thanks." Thanks. I mean, you could tell, too. He was emotional because, you know, here's his church. Imagine this. It's his church, his spiritual home for 40 years, and it had been dying. But now there was hope. He was seeing life. And, you know, the campus was getting some love and some care. Now, what was happening that day? I mean, you could say, hey, there's a group of people who were cleaning up the campus. And that would be true. But there was something bigger happening. People were rallying around a vision of the ministry that could happen in that place. People were believing God was going to do something special in that place. And when people believe in a vision, it leads to effort. People will work. I mean, you should have seen it. We had Denny Breidert trimming tree branches at a youthful 78 years old. Ralph Phillips has to rely on a motorized chair to get around, right? But that didn't stop him. And then the whole Hischke family, Jacob and all of his kids. And then April's there, fully pregnant, less than a month out from her due date. But when people believe in a vision, it leads to effort. And people will work. Now, I've talked a lot about the work that we've been doing with the 5-2 Network and the strategic growth process through which they've been taking us. And one of the key outcomes from this is the formulation of a 5-year vision of our ministry. If we are faithful to God's calling, where could Bethlehem be when she celebrates her 100th birthday? And this vision gets into detail, right? Details of growth, numbers. Numbers of people being baptized every year, percent of people in our early learning center, families who are getting connected to our ministry, numbers in kids ministry and youth ministry and in our school and certainly in worship. Can you picture it? Between our two campuses, more than 800 people in worship every week. It could happen. All right, but in order for us to reach our goals, we have to address a few things. And then we need to get to work. Okay. But humor me now for just a little exercise activity here. I want you to take your right hand if you're able. And I want you to reach it as high as you can over your head. All right. High as you can. And hold it there. Okay. Now go just a little bit higher. Why didn't you do that the first time? Okay. You can put your hand out. You know, all the times I've done this with a group, inevitably people are able to raise their hand a little bit higher that next time. Why is that? It's because, you know, we are inclined to hold back a little bit, hold things in reserve, energy-wise, financially, with our time, to hold back a little reserve. And sometimes I will tell you, that is helpful. But it can also be a roadblock to pursuing the calling that God has for us personally and as a ministry. You know, we just don't want to reach as high as God wants us to reach or go as far as God wants us to go. Now, I know when I start to talk about vision, that evokes a lot of responses in people. I mean, some people, they get excited because there's optimism. Like Dan on the workday, it's like we can see hope for the future. But some people are skeptical and they have doubts or they fear what might change. Or maybe there's frustration from the imperfect systems and processes that have gotten us where we are. Okay, so how can we navigate this so that we're reaching as high as God wants us to reach? Well, I'm going to suggest, since we're celebrating Pentecost this weekend, that we can only do this successfully and navigate this successfully if we have a Pentecost perspective. Now, there are two ways that you can look at the events of Pentecost. Some people look at this as like a one-time event. You know, God promised his Holy Spirit, and guess what? On Pentecost, God gave his Holy Spirit to the disciples, and they were empowered to do amazing things. And so then we can read about how amazing it was. But if that's the only way that we see Pentecost, it would be a travesty. I mean, we cannot allow Pentecost to be just a wasn't that a great thing? Event and nothing more. It wasn't a one-time event. Pentecost was a template for the future of the church. And that same Holy Spirit is being poured out on people throughout the world. People are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ in their own native language. And all who call upon the name of the Lord are saved. Okay, now I'm going to share with you, some of the key elements that I see in this story that are just crucial for this Pentecost perspective. But to set the stage, this story doesn't get told if the disciples weren't there. Okay, and this is a small detail, but in verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, the disciples were gathered together in one place, exactly where Jesus told them to be. Okay, now here's the takeaway for this. Be where God tells you to be. Be where God tells you to be, and He will take you further than you ever thought you could go. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the mighty work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, those disciples had no idea what God was going to be able to do through them, with them. So for you, if the Holy Spirit were to show up today, are you where you're supposed to be? Okay, but let me move on, though, to those things that I've identified are crucial to this resurrection, or not resurrection, the Pentecost perspective that we have here, and some of the key elements of this story for that. First of all, when Pentecost happened, things were expected and unexpected. What happened on Pentecost? I mean, some of it expected, some of it not expected. Jesus, sure, he told his disciples, right? He told his disciples that the Holy Spirit was going to be coming. And in John's gospel, we read that Holy Spirit would be a helper, be a comforter. He would remind the disciples of the things that Jesus said, the things that he did. The Holy Spirit would testify to Jesus and guide the disciples into all truth. And then in Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells his disciples that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit came, that they would be his witnesses. So they were expecting some of this. Now, but what was unexpected? Was it tongues of fire, the sound of the wind, speaking in languages they never had learned before? And then the result. Do you think any of those disciples, do you think any of them expected that 3,000 people would join the church that day? What happened that day was unexpected by the disciples and also by the people. So maybe for us, for a Pentecost perspective, certainly expect the expected. We expect what we expect, but also expect the unexpected. And I'll tell you, here's one that got me. According to the most recent studies, what age group, what demographic do you think attends church most? Because it's not older people, like it used to be. It's Gen Zs and millennials. And not just younger people, younger men. Especially among 20-somethings, the men outnumber the women in worship. Interestingly also, those same younger men are more inclined than younger women to say that one day they want to have children. It's like, wow, unexpected, right? Well, I received an email from one of these 20-somethings men just earlier this year, and I want to share something that he said because I think it speaks for his generation. He said, not to sound cheesy, but in a way, I feel as if spirituality found me, that the Lord was, to an extent, reaching out in his own ways, calling me home. Expect what is unexpected. All right, second, what happened on Pentecost was greater than anticipated. So not only was it unexpected, but it was unexpected in a good way, in a greater way. And so we see in verse 7, you know, what is he talking about? How the people reacted to this, as, you know, they expected these things as beyond what they expected. It says that they were amazed and astounded. And then verse 12, it says that they were amazed and perplexed. People are like, wow, like we definitely were not expecting. This is more than what we were expecting. Didn't see that coming. Now I'm going to be honest with you. The five-year vision that we are putting forward is pretty ambitious. But as we wrote it, is based on this Pentecost perspective that God does more than expected. It's greater than what we expect as well. So as we are writing this, we looked and we went through this process, sequence of, okay, think about it, but then let's pray to God about it. And then think about it, and let's pray to God, and pray to God. And then asking, you know, God, are these the right things? Are these the right numbers? And then this refining question as we looked at what was written. Does this need God? Okay, what's written here? Is what's written here something that, you know, we feel like we could do based on our own efforts, or does God need to be in it? Now, you ought to be careful in this because you don't want to go to the other extreme of, you know, ridiculous goals that have no anchor in reality. But our five-year vision is ambitious. Doubling our worship and our kids' ministry, and then making sure that those people are connected, and adding a second campus is going to help. But there's a lot of work still to be done to hit this goal. 60% increase in the number of baptisms. Between our two campuses, 16 early learning center classrooms, with 70% of those families calling Bethlehem home. 220 plus students in our K-8 program in right-sized classrooms. More than 50 volunteers at our table ministry to the working poor and the homeless, serving as many as 150. Two mission teams going to our care point in Guatemala every year, with 60 or more new children that are sponsored, in addition to the 140 that are already sponsored. Okay, now I know it's hard to like receive all of this information, the statistics, so we've emailed out that five-year vision to you, and I can get a copy to you, and you will see there's the maintenance and stuff, the changes happening, upgrades on each of the campus, the necessary infrastructure, you know, strategic detail, accountability, and saying, all right, this is what we're going to do. So getting into all of that level of accountability. But at the end of the day, let's go at this with Pentecost perspective and watch as God does something beyond, greater than what was anticipated. All right. Third, what happened on Pentecost was comprehensive in scope. And here's what I mean by that. It was accessible to everyone. That is salvation's reach. You know, the people there, they heard the disciples each in their own languages. Peter gets up to speak and he reminds them, hey, what the prophet Joel said, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on young and old, on men and women. And that principle, that God's saving acts and his redemptive work are for all. It's comprehensive. That is at the core of our five-year vision. What happens in worship, kids ministry, youth ministry, happens in Bible class, at the table, in Guatemala, it is for all. It's like, you know, Paul said in Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but it's still then all, and all are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. For all. So we're going to be a place where all can find rescue from their sins and life in Jesus Christ and connect in a meaningful way with their God and with other people who share that same hope. Okay. And then one final one, fourth. What happened on Pentecost was of eternal consequence. Verse 21, it says, and so it will, shall come to pass that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't, what do you think is most amazing about Pentecost? Is it the tongues of fire and the sound of the rushing wind, or that the disciples spoke in languages they'd never learned before? Or was it the idea that the Holy Spirit is poured out on men and women? Or is it that 3,000 people were added to the church that day? Okay, all of those are amazing, but we still haven't hit the most amazing thing of all. And it's still the most amazing thing. And as we go at the things necessary to pursue our 5-year plan, this is what propels this vision forward. You ready? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone who connects with Jesus and his saving work will be saved. And in a world that's broken by sin, in our lives that are broken by sin, we need that. So let's get behind this vision. Let it inspire our effort and ignite and drive our work. And if we're where God tells us to be, he will take us further than we ever thought was possible. Amen. Let's spend some time in prayer. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, thank you for igniting in us a passion for change and growth in your church. And Lord, we've been praying to you, lead us in a vision of the future, and pray that we are pursuing exactly what you are calling us to do. And help us to respond, help us to be where you're calling us to be, to see the amazing things that we can't even anticipate or imagine that you will do. Continue to pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Lord, we bring to you our prayers and concerns, the things of this week, the things of our lives. Pray for those who are hurting, those who need your hand of healing. And we pray now for the family and friends of Sue Bolig, who passed away just this past Tuesday. Comfort them with the promises that just as Jesus rose from death, so will Sue. And bless us, Lord, with just a peace that goes beyond understanding. We pray, Lord, for those who are struggling to get by, the high cost of living and inflation and affordability of housing and all of that. It's really making it difficult for some people. So, Lord, I'm praying that you bring down inflation and the cost of living, that you make housing and healthcare affordable for people. And Lord, what our governing leaders do often impacts that. So bless them. And so often we see dysfunction in that leadership. So remove that from our government and other leaders and business leaders, civic leaders, and bless us. Lord, also, we deal with this thing called AI, artificial intelligence. There are incredible blessings and incredible dangers. So we pray that technology would stay ahead of those dangers, and that you protect people that might fall victim to whatever people are trying to do to harm them. But thank you also for what AI will be able to do in advancing the good of humanity and the proclamation of the gospel. Lord, we pray for our ministry, what's happening at our Southwest campus. May we always be generous with our times, our talents, our treasures. And as we do this, Lord, be in our hearts as to what is most important each day, and to prioritize those things. We pray for our men's ministry that is forming now. We already have some great groups meeting, but bless the plans over the summer and the launch that's coming in August. Be with people in their personal lives as well. There are a lot of people dealing with anxiety and depression and burnout, and just pray that you would be their help and their strength. Also, Lord, we've been receiving a lot of moisture, and we're thankful for that. We've been praying to you for that moisture. And so we give thanks to you. You, Lord, have been very, very good to us this week. And any other prayers that we have in our heart, Lord, we put before you, praying together that beautiful prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Jesus now invites us to his table, and this also is a table for all. But understand, for all who want their sin forgiven, for all who are repentant and understand the need for grace, and all who know this isn't just some ritual, it's not something symbolic. This is really Christ's body and blood, and that's a mystery, I know. But somehow in the bread and wine and grape juice, Christ himself comes to us. For our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and now to you, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and again, giving thanks to God, he gave it to his disciples, and now to you, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. If you're not communing, know that God loves you. He's called you as his own through the waters of your baptism. May he continue to encourage, equip, empower, strengthen you for life in his name. Amen. And now, take and eat. This is the body of your Lord Jesus Christ, and it is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And then take and drink. This is Christ's blood, and it is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from, oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life, oh, he is my song. You are good, good.
Never gonna let me down.
this eating of Christ's body and drinking of his blood strengthen you and preserve you steadfast in the true faith until life everlasting. Amen. Let's go from worship with the blessing of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Well, blessings to you as you go about your life. Just a couple of things happening at Bethlehem. We're in the process of hiring different positions. I want to tell you, one is an accounting position. I know many of you may know somebody in the accounting world who would love to use those gifts in service of Christ and his church. So check that out. You can find that on our website as well, the job openings that are there. And also, we're going to canvass the community around our Southwest campus. We're going to do that on Saturday the 30th. So if you'd like to be a part of that, you can join us that morning. Contact Blake Brockman, our vicar, to connect on some of the details for that. And now, take something from where part of the vision, I don't know what it was, that gets you excited, and do something with it this week. This week. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you. So love on, because you're changing the world. Love on.